Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Hi guys.
Yello.
As we're in the winter months, we just thought that we should tell you that not all flaky scalp is dandruff, and actually flaky scalp is not dandruff.
No, it's usually just dry scalp, guys. That's all it is.
And using a dandruff shampoo for dry scalp will not help.
No, because it's just going to dry it out more, usually.
Right. Dandruff is actually a fungus. If you think about like cradle cap on a baby, kind of what dandruff is, not exactly, but it's not going to be those little just flakes you see.
Right. Very, very similar to cradle cap. But so in the wintertime, all of us have our heat on, right? And it can actually, like, your environment will dry you out. So if you've got like heat on in your house all the time, in your business or in your car or wherever, that's going to dry out not only your hair, but your skin as well. One way to combat that is to basically drink some more water and put on a lot of moisturizer. But specifically on your scalp, if you're seeing some of those like flaky patches, we've said this before, but shampoo your hair twice.
Yeah.
Make sure you're really scrubbing your scalp too and getting all that debris and all those flakes off.
My little sister told me to get like a scalp massager, like the little plastic ones with the little like
teeth. Get them on Amazon.
Yeah. I got mine at TJ Maxx, honestly. Yeah. And she was using that on her second shampoo, like, you know, shampoo, rinse, shampoo, use that. And I started using that, and that cleans my scalp so good.
Like, and that it also is the feels best. Nice.
It does. If you have any type of dry scalp, then try that on your second shampoo. Then get it all off there good. Because some of the times, your scalp isn't getting completely clean. And that's the reason that it can be dry. Not just, you know, winter, but other things like that too.
If you have more textured hair, sometimes a better approach, because that can get a little bit tangly.
Right.
If you have more textured hair, is to get a boar bristle brush. And before you get in the shower to shampoo, part your hair off and like brush your scalp with that boar bristle brush really good. And then when you get in the shower and you detangle with your conditioner on, you know, it'll get all of that stuff off.
All the grossness.
All the little flaky guys. It's kind of like, have you ever had your face dermaplaned?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
There are special shampoos. But first, try shampooing your hair twice and make sure that you get it really nice and rinsed.
Yeah.
And see if that helps with your flake.
And also, I mean, there's all kinds that you can buy scalp oils and stuff. Yeah. I personally like to just use straight up the light version of hyaluronic acid on my scalp. I get the one from The Ordinary.
I had never heard that until you were telling my sister about it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good for your scalp.
That's awesome. We learn something new every day.
Yeah, and it doesn't leave a greasy residue in my hair. So 10/10 recommend that.
10 out of 10. All right. Well, there you go.
So today, we're going to talk about the, I guess we could say, the mysterious death of Tamla Horsford.
I have questions,
but also some of the people in question are very so happy. So we're just going to leave it at that.
We're just going to tell you the public information on it.
Yes. And this is a case where it's hard to just fit in everything into one sitting. So I'm just gonna kind of hit the highlights of what I filtered. So who was Tamla Horsford? Tamla was born October 10th, 1978. She is from the Caribbean Islands, Kingstown, St. Vincent, and the Grenadines. And Tamla was a mother of five and had one grandbaby on the way from her stepdaughter, who was her husband's child from a previous marriage. And then they went on to have all boys.
Oh, Lord.
And all her boys were involved in football. Okay. Yeah. And she's a stay-at-home mom, super involved in the kids' school, has a grandbaby on the way, right. Super proud of that. By the way, her stepdaughter was like 24 at the time.
Yeah.
So she's much older than her sons, who are range from 4 to 15, I think. But so she's super mom, essentially,
right.
Is what she is. And she's also from the Caribbean. And so she really loves warm weather. She cannot stand the cold.
Same girl.
I get it, sister. I am warm-blooded as well. And she marries her husband, and her husband eventually gets a job, and that brings them to Cummings, Georgia. And so they've been there for a little while, and the boys are involved in youth football, and she meets this group of football moms. And ends up getting herself invited to this party.
Like a mom party.
Well, specifically, this is going to be late. One of the moms, her name's Jean. Okay. It's spelled like Jean. But Jean's birthday party. And, you know, they're going to kind of forego the going out and being, you know, sloppy outside. And they're all going to stay in. And they're going to hang out, and they're going to, I think they were going to watch a football game. I think it was LSU versus Bama.
Yeah.
So if you're in the SEC, I've heard a lot of other podcasts cover this and be like, I guess they were going to watch football. No, listen to me. If you're in the fucking yeah. SEC, LSU versus Bama is a fucking big deal. Okay?
It is.
It's a big deal. So
Rand is a football fan.
I'm a football fan. They were all going to watch this big game together, gonna drink, have fun, and then we're all gonna stay the night, right?
Right. It's
supposed to be fun girl's birthday.
An adult thing, responsible adult thing to do.
Well, here's the thing, is that somehow, of these 12 guests in attendance, there ends up being two men there anyway. One is Jose, who is Jean's boyfriend, who is 20 years younger than her, and she's like very proud of that. And then the other one is one of the other lady's husbands, right?
Who brings boys to girls' nights? That's so annoying.
Well, and apparently she had texted one of the other people that were going and was like, LOL, my husband wants to hang out with us this evening. And then was like, also, the story was given that she, I guess, was hosting her sister or sister-in-law's baby shower. And that she had a bunch of her college friends there, the sister's okay. college friends. And they didn't feel like it would be appropriate for him to be there.
Okay.
Which, I mean, what does that say about him?
I don't know.
But you're just letting these people, like, take over your house and stay there?
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. That was like the first like weird thing. But anyway, the boys are supposed to stay downstairs and do their own thing. But at some point, they end up coming up to get like food or cake or whatever. And then everybody starts to arrive, and the guys are downstairs, and everybody's coming in. And so Tam had brought some tequila for Jean for a birthday present. And Jean turns it down. She's like, I don't drink it.
I mean, and that's understandable.
And I get that. So apparently, Tam's all right, cool. And she just starts drinking it.
She's like, I like tequila. So.
Yeah. And she's having a girl's night. Everybody's staying there so she can have a little fun. And at some point, Tam calls her stepdaughter and is like showing her off to everybody. Because again, she's expecting a grandbaby.
She's
so she's, look at this. And I think it was reported that in one source that it was like a FaceTime call. You know what I mean?
That it would be FaceTime. Like, look at her. She's so pretty.
Yeah, she's cute. She's cute. Show me the belly. You know, that kind of thing. And she introduces her to everyone. And even the daughter said that nothing seemed amiss in that call. Like, you could tell she was a little bit buzzed, of course. But she was having a good time. And Tam was one of these people that she was the life of the party. you know, if Tamla was there, she was going to go pick out the shyest person at the party and do her best to make them feel
right.
Welcome. Okay, so she was one of these people that, like, the whole lighting up a room statement
was
for
her.
Real. Okay?
I love that.
And there was a couple times where Tamla had stepped outside to smoke a cigarette. Now, it's not reported anywhere that Tamla was, like, a smoker regularly. But, I mean, like, sis.
Right.
I know people who, when they're drinking, they have a cigarette. The rest of the time, they don't smoke. But when they're drinking, they have a cigarette.
It's just like vaping. I know plenty of, like, our friends that only vape when they drink.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. I don't think that's weird.
No, I don't think that's weird at all. But there were also reports that Tamla was smoking some weed outside. And that John went out there and asked her to stop. Because Jose is a pretrial officer. So he works at the courthouse.
Okay.
And that just wouldn't look good, right?
Right.
But here's the thing, okay? You don't just show up at somebody's house and start smoking weed. Right.
Especially if nobody else is doing it. I can't see just her going out there to do it by herself.
No. Not at all. Not at a party.
No. That she's having fun. Like, she's a super social person.
Yeah.
That's known to, like, talk to other people. So that's just weird to me that she would just go out there.
And here's something that also rubbed me a little bit of the wrong way. So in John's interviews, apparently, she jokingly called Tamla the female Bob Marley. Didn't love that.
No, because, I mean, how'd you mean that?
Right. And also, like, if she stopped.
Right.
She was like, oh, my bad.
Oh, like, oh, thought we were having fun. Sorry. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. That was kind of weird to me. But also, like I said, like, who the fuck goes outside and is smoking weed by themselves at somebody else's house?
Right.
No. That's not, we've all been at parties, okay?
Right.
That is not how that works.
No.
This whole idea that she's the only one going outside on the balcony.
Right.
Not to mention, but we're looking at November the 24th, 2018.
Man, it's cold.
It's cold.
Especially at night.
And she hates the cold. The night goes on. And despite there, you know, being like several people who are supposed to stay. And there are some women who are picked up.
Okay.
And there are some claims that Tamla had thought about going home. But she didn't. And the last anybody sees of Tamla, she is up in the kitchen eating a bowl of gumbo. And this is confirmed by Jose and John, who go to bed around 1:30. Now, the time starts to get a little muddied here. Because this was actually when daylight savings time happened.
Oh. Oh,
so the time changed that night.
Yeah.
So was this the first 1:30 or the second one?
Right.
Just keep that in mind, as there are several times where the time seems off.
Right.
But who knows what clock you're going by. Has that clock been changed yet? Yes, your cell phone would have changed,
but
all your physical clocks in your house would not have, right? And especially all these people have been partying. They've been drinking. They're all buzzed. There was one lady who was like drinking blueberry vodka and ginger beer, which, by the way, sounds fucking delicious.
That does sound really good.
But just keep in mind, we fell back an hour.
So it could be
time change. It could be innocent and just be that they didn't change the clock.
Right.
And they did see that time correctly, but that clock hadn't been changed.
Right.
So just keep that in mind. And then another one of the guests, her husband is going to come and pick her up. And she sees Tam on her way out the door to go to her husband's truck. And by all accounts, Tam said she was going to finish this bowl of gumbo.
Right.
Go outside and smoke and then go either sleep on the couch or in one of the guest bedrooms. Now, this sounds like a pretty large house.
Yeah.
And so then they have this door alarm system where it notifies them if a door is open.
Right.
But they have a log of when certain doors have opened. And so the back door that Tamla was going out of opened at 1:49, closes at 1:50, so in, out.
Okay.
And then opens again at 1:57, and then it's never closed.
So I would assume that was the woman leaving and then Tamla walking out behind her?
Well, I think maybe 1:49 it up. Who knows, like, exactly in the seconds tick when it opened at 1:49. Or, I mean, we've all done this. Open the door to walk out. Oh, I forgot something in there. Run in and get it, and then we're walk back out and then close it real quick. And then she smokes for about 7 minutes, which is, that's a drunk cigarette.
Yeah.
And then the door opens again, but then never closes the rest of it. So then the next morning, Tamla is found in the yard face down around 8:30. What happens is Madeline, who is staying downstairs, who is often referred to as Jean's aunt, but she's not her aunt. She's her mom's best friend.
Okay.
Madeline wakes up, looks outside, sees Tamla on the ground, and then for whatever reason, she says a prayer, drops to her knees, says a prayer, and then runs upstairs to go get Jean and Jose.
I guess everybody has their own trauma responses.
Yeah. And so then Madeline knocks on the door upstairs. Jean answers it and she says, I need Jose right now. And Jean's, what's up? What's up? And Madeline says, there's something wrong with your friend from the islands.
Oh.
Don't love that phrasing.
I mean, seems like I'd be like, somebody fell off the damn balcony.
I'd be like, your friend's face down in the yard. Jean, Jose, and Madeline go outside. Whether they went out in the yard or onto the balcony, not real sure. Jean calls 911 and states very calmly that her friend is in the yard. She's face down.
Right, she's fallen.
She's fallen. And then Jose gets on the phone. Now, later they would claim that this was because Jean was too distraught to speak. No, bitch. I mean, like, literally, she was like, yeah, I need an ambulance. Well, we had some people over last night, and one of them is face down in the yard right now. That calmly.
That would not be my first response, no. But...
No, I would be hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
And Jose gets on the phone, and Jean does say that she thinks Tamla may have fallen off the balcony, which Tamla's only like 5 foot, like 5'2", something like that.
Yeah.
And this railing's 3 feet tall. Her center of gravity is way below this railing. And then, yeah, so Jose's on the phone at this point. And they're like, have you checked for pulse, blah, 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 blah. And he says, she's stiff. Not checked. Yeah, checked.
Yeah.
Not. It just, he says, she's stiff. And then he says, we have security cameras. I'm sure they if whatever happened, they caught it. I think he says if she fell, they caught it. But a month earlier, the security camera company had emailed her and been like, hey, your batteries are low on your cameras.
Right.
So you got to charge them. So they knew these cameras weren't working. And so then he says that he notices that there's a cut on her right wrist.
On the 911 call? That's a weird mm-hmm. thing to say. That's a weird
thing to note. He says, I don't know if it's self-inflicted.
That's real weird to say off the beginning.
Mm-hmm. He never takes her vitals. Never. Do you hear me?
Oh.
Never takes a pulse. Never checks her breathing. Nothing. He's even hesitant to touch
Then
Tamla.
How did he know that she was stiff if he wasn't?
He keeps saying, I don't know if I should touch her. I don't know if I should move her. And she said, I need you to check for vinyl. He said, she's stiff.
But
and at one point he would say, I moved her leg. She's stiff. He reports Tamla laying face down with her hands straight down to right her side. Like she just like face planted. Like board, boom, face plant. He says he tried to bend her leg and she was stiff. And then she's, the operator says, do you know if she was suicidal? And he says, I don't know, ma'am. I've only met her one other time.
But I thought that was a weird question for the operator to ask. Maybe not. That struck me as real weird.
Well, I mean, I think they're wondering if she jumped off the balcony or something. But it's only 14 foot off the ground. I mean, you wouldn't initially think that you might break something, but you wouldn't die.
Right.
Unless you, like went head first, you know? But also, he doesn't know her actual name. They ask her name. And he said, her name is Tam. I don't know if that's short for Tamara or what.
Why don't you ask the woman that's standing next to you?
But then he smells Horsford. And then is also points out on the 911 call, she's the only smoker. She was the one on the balcony. He also mentions that there's a cigarette and a lighter out there. And that, well, he's just so OCD. When he came outside, he did move it. Because it wasn't in the right place.
If you were rushing outside because somebody has fallen off of your balcony, number one, why were you on the balcony to move the cigarette and the lighter?
Why wouldn't you go down to the yard if she said she's down in the yard?
Why wouldn't you just run directly down to the yard? No, like, why were you even up there?
At one point, I don't think he ever went down and touched Tamla.
He wasn't even down there with her?
I don't think he did. Oh, yeah. Okay, because at one point, he's talking like he's on the balcony where he sees all this stuff. And then they say, okay, well, the police should be pulling in your neighborhood. Can you go outside and direct them in? Do they need to go around the back? And he says, hang on, let me put some shoes on.
Oh, yeah. So he didn't even go down there.
So I'm like, did you go down there and see if she, like, check her vitals at all?
Doesn't sound like it.
So that's weird to me, right? Yeah. All of that happens on the 911 call. And then the police get there about 9:07. Okay. It's about 8:30 is when Madeline notices her. About 9:07 is when the police get there. The police dismiss EMS all the way in. That's not protocol.
Is it not?
No.
I start saying they know she's
because according
dead.
To a Georgia law, if someone is to be pronounced dead, medical professional has to be present.
That makes sense because you need somebody that's like qualified to be like, no, there's no polls. So they're taking his word for it, she's dead? Because, I mean, they've not even made it there yet, so they can't say that.
We'll come to find out. The officer knew Jose. They note that Tamla is laying in a prone position with her head away from the residence and her feet towards the residence. So she fell out
just directly
from the house. Right. Left arm approximately 40 degrees from the body. Forearm and hand bent toward her in an approximate 10 degree position. Then the right arm is straight by her side. Both feet pointing to the right. All police reports have this body position. They call everyone from the previous night back to the house. Not to the station, to the house. And put them all in the house together. So you're going to give them plenty of time to get their story straight.
Like, literally, they can stand there like talking about the entire thing.
Now, it took a minute for her to be pronounced dead. She wasn't pronounced dead till 10:47 because they had to call everybody back. From where they had dismissed them earlier. The responding officer suggested that Tamla tripped over the landscape chip edging in the yard.
He's a professional? Like you, this is what you study?
Medical examiner says injury is not possible from that short of a fall. Tamla's right wrist was dislocated and broken so bad that the bone was coming through the skin, which is the cut that Jose noted on her wrist.
Oh, God.
There are severe injuries to her head, neck, and her torso, including brain and skull bleeding and separation, and a torn ventricle in her heart.
Oh, how does that even happen?
He says this is more consistent with a second story fall.
Yeah.
On the balcony. Her talk screen comes back as a blood alcohol concentration of 0.238.
Oh, my God. That is high.
As well as positive for THC.
Okay.
And Xanax.
Okay. Where'd the Xanax
No one from? Knows where the Xanax came from. Okay. If we know that Tamla's drinking out of this tequila bottle that they find at the scene that's an eighth full.
Right.
Why would we not test the tequila that's in there?
It seems, you know, just cover all bases.
Never did.
Oh, of course not.
They also never collected fingernail clippings, did not take a sexual assault kit, and there are no pictures of the autopsy.
They just took this at face value and never looked
no
at
pictures
it.
No pictures of that was absolutely unorthodox.
Yeah. Like, they did not look.
That does not happen.
Right.
That had to be at the directive of someone.
Right. That is.
They claim there is photos, but they've never been released to the family or the family's lawyer after requesting them. And then they fought for them. And they were like, oh, well, you've just never signed this affidavit. And so they signed the affidavit and still no pictures have ever come.
Because there aren't any
of the pictures. Exactly. There's no fucking pictures of this autopsy.
None of this is...
Ultimately, it's ruled an accidental death.
There was no investigation into that. to decide if it was accidental or not. That's crazy.
Side note, we're going to talk about lead investigator Christian real quick.
Okay.
He resigned in October of 2020. Just a side note. Now, this Tamla's death happened in 2018.
Okay.
Internal Affairs investigation for him essentially leaking information to women he was having affairs with, including photos of Tamla's body on Snapchat. My God.
What? I'm sorry, but to keep your streak with someone, don't send them pictures of crime scenes. Your streak is not worth that.
He referred to Tamla as porch lady.
Oh.
And made some really fucking sick jokes about notifying Tamla's family of her death.
That's so gross.
I mean, I won't repeat them because it makes me sick to my stomach.
That's gross.
But it's they're disgusting. And he admitted to making the jokes, but he denies that he sent the photos.
One's not better than the other, my dude.
Right. So in January of 2021, he released a statement saying, "I would not have resigned. I should have just stuck in there and taken whatever punishment came." And then, like, he waxes poetic about how he's going to stick with his marriage and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, get fucked, mate.
You're not a fucking martyr. Like, what?
No. No, you're a sick piece of shit.
Yeah.
Internal Affairs ultimately did find him guilty of violating policy. So he would have been let go anyway. So there's that.
You can't just do what you want when you're in a position of authority.
Well, on that note, Jose gets fired in December of 2018 for accessing the incident report for Tamla's death and distributing it to other people.
He deserved to get fired. And
well, apparently he'd been let go from two other jobs in police work.
That sounds prosecutable to me, but that's using basically your power and authority to do something you should not be doing. So that definitely seems like more
in a case that you're involved in.
Right. Like, that definitely to me sounds like there should have been some type of prosecution there, but I don't know that there is any law that can technically be violated, but that's horrible.
Well, in 2019, some of the partygoers get together and sue one of Tamla's friends, Michelle, who was very active and very, like, vocal about this case and who was at the party and what she believes happened and all that kind of thing. Ultimately, they were unsuccessful, and I think even Jean filed for a restraining order against her, but they were like, no, she can talk about this all she wants to. And then the case is officially closed in February of 2019, by the way. Now, Tamla's father hires an independent medical examiner for a second autopsy, and this second autopsy notes several cuts and abrasions on Tamla's face that were not noted in the first autopsy, which, I mean, obviously, we don't have any pictures. Then the case kind of starts getting circulated in the media because Black Lives Matter and everything starts, you know, kind of coming to a head.
Well, and people are looking around being like, this is fucked up.
Exactly. And so then the family's lawyer released a very pointed letter. I mean, like, it calls everybody out. And then so Forsyth County asked for the GBI to come take over the case. After all this public pressure, right?
GBI is like the TBI.
Georgia Bureau of Investigation. Yeah. So, GBI picks it up in June 2020. All of their interviews with partygoers are on YouTube.
What? How did that happen?
I don't know, my guy. They're on there, though.
Oh.
There are so many conflicting.
Well, technically, if it's a closed case, then I don't know about, like, evidence. I don't know how that works.
I'm not sure how that works either, but a lot of them are on there, okay? And there are a lot of conflicting statements from the original reports. And there's some things that we find out. So, Madeline now says that she went and splashed water on her face, then said the prayer, then went and found Jean and Jose, and they were joined by one of the other party guests, Jennifer, in the backyard. The original reports were that Jennifer's husband picked her up before Tamla was found.
Ooh.
And, fun fact, during Madeline's original interview, John bursts in. This is at John's house, right?
Yeah.
Comes in and is, ha-ha, I'm going to have to start charging y'all rent. And the investigator's like, ha ha, yeah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then she's, oh, by the way, got y'all some Dunkin' Donuts gift cards. Here you go. And then later, the investigators are like on record on her interview and like, hey, by the way, you know we can't keep those Dunkin' Donuts gift cards.
Did they take those? Because I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Well, and some of it sounded very like, wink, wink, you know we can't right. take those.
And just interviewing them at the house in general.
Just not a good look, right?
No.
And then Stacy Smith, one of the partygoers, had discrepancies about why her husband was at the party. We already talked about him.
Okay.
She's now claiming that the men stayed downstairs all night and only came up for cake, but also says she called him up to start the propane fire pit. Which is it? Did they stay downstairs right. all night, or did he come up and help you start the fire pit?
Right.
Which, the propane tank is mentioned for the first time in this set of interviews. Nobody's mentioned the propane tank before, because before, nobody else was going out on the balcony.
Right.
And now we're going out on the balcony to start the propane tank.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because Tamla was the only one that smoked, so she was the only one that was right. out there.
And our girl, you know, she's also, like, everybody says basically the same thing to end the interview, which we'll get to in a minute. But all of these people are ending their interview pretty much the same, with the same summation, okay? Everyone claims to not know where the Xanax came from, but Bridget, one of the partygoers, was known for giving it out to her friend.
Don't give friends your medication. You need that. Don't just give your friends your medication.
This is proven by text messages. And she, I think, had given Stacy some just a couple weeks before. But she was like, oh, no, I never share. But then they looked at her phone records and it's, bitch, you just texted this woman about some.
Right.
Marcy claims to have went to bed with Jennifer at 11 because Jennifer was drunk as shit. But also claims she was on the call with Tamla's daughter later around 12. Marcy left for work at 5 a.m. and said all the lights and the TV was on in the living room. Still.
Okay.
Now, Jose claims he went to get a charger downstairs instead of going straight up to bed. And then that's when he saw Tamla. Which there was no talk of him going downstairs first before this. Right. And he claims to have went to get ice at a convenience store that's 3 minutes down the road with the other husband. In the middle of the night, too.
Which everybody's going to bed. Why do we need more ice?
And then everybody also is talking about this propane tank now. And like we said, at first nobody was outside. And now everybody is outside, in and out off the balcony all night, trying to start this propane fire pit. And all of the guests specifically stated, like they all made sure to say, that they played Cards Against Humanity. They all specifically stated Cards Against Humanity. Okay. Not a card game. Cards Against Humanity. And Tamla was the only smoker. There were two different types of cigarettes found outside.
Oh, that's suspicious.
Now, I mean, I've seen people bum from different people, but they don't ever have their full pack of cigarettes.
Two full different packs.
Yeah, your brand is your brand. What you buy is what you buy. And now, the police have talked to one of Jean's neighbors, who says that John came over and said she owed the neighbor an explanation for why all the police and stuff had been there. And that cameras caught one of her party guests falling off her balcony.
Why would you say it like that in general? I don't know. That's a weird...
But we know the cameras didn't catch
her. Right.
And we know she knew that.
That's just such a weird verbiage at all.
She says, the neighbor says that they saw a couple leave around 9 a.m. with a crock pot. This would have been Stacy and her husband. But again, was it 9 or was it 8?
Right.
Because of time change, okay? We know the cameras aren't working. We know she knows the cameras aren't working because she got the email from the company. It says, hey, charge your camera. And apparently, she can't charge these cameras because Madeline thought it was like a phone charger or something and moved it, and now they can't find it. Here's the kicker, is that half of the house, the cameras were working on the front half of the house.
But it's literally just like
a little USB charger. No, are the cords not the same?
Right. Like, it's the easiest little charger ever. And normally, if she had more than one camera, they will send you a cord with every single camera. Right.
Again, this is 2018.
Right. Like, there's
like
a million of them.
We all had
right
a million USB cords, USB-Cs, regular right. USB drives, like all of it is sitting around. Like, you could have charged this with
right.
anything.
There's no reason. That yeah. doesn't make any sense.
Well, still, even so, in July of 2021, GBI concludes that Tamla's death was an accidental fall from the balcony. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the history of Forsyth County.
Oh, I was wondering if this would...
And why
it's not great.
Everyone feels that this case is very racially motivated. Because not only is Investigator Christian very fucking gross and very fucking racist, but so is Forsyth County.
Yeah.
In 1912, there was a racial cleansing in Forsyth County. White residents drove out all the black residents to protect, quote-unquote, the white population. They drove out 1,100 black residents. 1,100 people driven out from their homes.
In a really gross way, too.
The white people in the town set fire to black churches and businesses, burning them to the ground. And this was in response to two incidents of rape, where one woman had died from her injuries after being raped and beaten. And to this I say, white men rape women all the fucking time. A lynch mob formed and killed one black man who was quote unquote suspected of one of the rapes. And then two teenage young black men were publicly hanged after a very short trial. And then all of this happened where they drove all of the black residents out of town. And this racism continued through to 1987, where marchers came to Cummings to support integration. They were met with the KKK and Confederate flags and chants of despicable things that basically said, get out of our town. Because I will not say that. The National Guard was actually called in to protect the marchers.
Yeah.
And that is because a week earlier, a much smaller march had taken place in which the white residents threw glass bottles, trash, anything they could think of at these marchers as they marched. And ultimately, they had to stop for safety reasons.
Right.
And so they came back with thousands of people and were basically like, fuck you. You're getting it anyway. Because Oprah actually picked this story up.
That's what I was just sitting here on my phone Googling, because that's how, like, I know of all this, is I've seen, like, little clips of the Oprah yes. thing. No black person had lived there in 20 years or 30 years or something like that.
Oh, longer than that. Came.
Like, that was crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, the KKK was still very prevalent there.
Yes.
And even up till 2018, 2020, 2022, there is not a large black population there.
No.
At all. It is wild to me that all of these discrepancies have happened. I mean, like, who moved Tamla's arm?
Right. If she
was you said you moved her leg. Who moved Tamla's arm? Who was out on the balcony?
Right.
Who was it? I mean, there's just so many things that it is unbelievable to me that they were just like, oh, yeah, sure, that sounds right.
Right. There's not many crimes that, like, I listen to and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck happened. There's not many. Normally, I'm like, ah, I have a good idea. This is one, I don't know what the fuck happened.
I don't know. And it's just, it's so weird to me. The only black woman at this party ends up dead.
And honestly, I've always kind of wondered of, you know, was it actually genuinely an accident? And she was the only one black woman in that party. So they freaked out and tried to cover it up. But then that doesn't make it any better. And that doesn't make any sense. So why would you do that? Like, I genuinely don't get it.
None of it makes any sense to me, really. No. And I mean, she was the mother of five.
Right. A good mother. Like, she wasn't
yeah, and it
into
seemed to me,
anything shady. She was
there
literally...
were several attempts that they made to be like, oh, well, you know, apparently she was a big partier. When?
Right.
She was literally begging people to stay up with her longer because she never gets to do this.
Right. And even if she was smoking weed, who cares? Like, it is literally the
future. We are grown.
Right. Nobody cares that you're smoking weed.
Nobody gives a shit.
And I'm sorry, but she was the only one and I told her to stop. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I don't know. And obviously, these cops aren't going to, like, get you in trouble for smoking a doobie at the birthday. You know what I mean? So, like, why are we still trying to cover this up? Like, why are we still trying to hide this?
I don't know.
It's just weird. It's all very weird.
For literally no reason. What do you guys think about it? No, genuinely, tell us. What do you think about it? What do you think happened? DM us on Instagram. Whenever we get messages, we get so excited. Like, oh my God, we got a message on Instagram.
Go look at it. Go read it. Yeah.
So definitely tell us, what do you think happened here?
All right, y'all.
All right.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.